No matter how hard I try, my house always gets messy. You can see it in this picture, which is of my actual kitchen sink an hour before the service. The dishes get dirty and they pile up. It just takes one missed load of laundry and the mess grows. People track dirt onto the floors or leave their coats on the floor. Dust gathers in the corners. The grass keeps growing. The dog chews things. Paint chips off the walls. I remember how this process sped up to a frenetic pace when my children were very small. I would straighten something or pack up the toys, and within a few moments everything would be spread around again. I remember lamenting, "I can spend half an hour working to clean this up, and it all gets undone in a tenth of the time. Nothing stays where I put it. What's the point?" But I knew that if I didn't do it, didn't put a little dent into the chaos, it would get even worse, even faster. I had to pour all my energy and more into fighting that force of unmaking that threatens at every turn to take over our lives. The normal way of the world is to go from order to mess, from life to death. Death and decay is the natural direction of everything. Unless we spend a lot of energy to pull it back, everything descends into chaos. All living and non-living things eventually break down and die. We know this is true, scientifically as well as philosophically. These are, of course, the laws of thermodynamics that scientists described in the 1700s and 1800s. They realized that energy is always lost from a system. Ordered things always dissipate. It's the reason your bathwater always gets colder, and dishes break, stars go supernova, your car always runs out of gas, your joints get arthritis, and your house gets messier. Mine does anyway. Because things lose energy and decay and fall apart. Health turns to sickness, life turns to death. Life begins, then bit by bit things fall apart until they are dust. It's the way of the world. It's a simple equation, life to death, period. It's the way of the world, at least until Jesus steps out of the tomb, till Jesus turns the period to a comma and adds to life, life to death, to life. The resurrection of Jesus takes the permanent, inevitable state of decay and death and makes it temporary. Jesus sucks all that power out of death when he rises from his own grave. That's why our funerals aren't just celebrations of someone's life, but they always look beyond death to the resurrection. Weddings do too, when they look towards the final communion of God's family. And Sundays, when we gather at the church, we're also foreshadowing the family of God that will be gathered from the ends of the earth and across time to what the Bible describes as a great wedding feast. That's resurrection. And baptisms act out symbolically the passage from death to life. We are born to a world of death, and then we're born again to greater life. We're given the capital L life of God, even when we don't deserve it at all. Death and decay stopped being the driving principles of our lives when Jesus rose from the dead. Which is why Paul places it as the capstone of his letter to the church in Corinth. Because the resurrection of Jesus, in his body as well as his spirit from the dead, is the reason we're here. Only one God has become a human being in order to break death from the inside, so that we too can follow him out of the grave. Without the resurrection, Jesus is just another one of the crazy prophets yelling about things that don't really make sense, who live and die and are forgotten. He's just another lying attention seeker. Without the resurrection, my sink full of dishes and my arthritis and my rusty car are all there is. There is no grave-breaking hope. There isn't any bigger love that infuses and stands behind our own love. Without the resurrection, there's nothing for us to draw on for sustenance or for joy. Without the resurrection, as Paul says, we are most to be pitied, because it means that we've fallen into a cult, a lie, or a dead-end philosophy. All of this would be worth nothing, and we'd be better off spending this hour on Sunday mornings watching the pre-game shows. But in fact, as Paul reminds us, Christ has been raised from the dead in a real historical event. And the community of faith, St. Columba included, is founded on the resurrection of Jesus. It's our reason for being. Lots of other organizations care for people. Lots of other places provide coffee and conversation. Without the resurrection, we're just one of them. But add the proclamation that God entered our world and dealt the death blow to death itself, and you have yourself a church. And while sometimes the church has to have AGMs and pass budgets, we do carry an institution with us after all. Our reason for being is Jesus. Our reason for living in hope is Jesus. The reason we show up for worship every week is that we follow a God who saves us, ultimately, even from death. We're here because Jesus has already defeated that very worst enemy. And if death is not permanent, then neither is sickness or despair, loneliness, grief, or conflict. The worst of our lives will end in Christ. And the best of our lives will continue on, transformed in the resurrection of Christ. Day by day, together, we're learning to walk that out.